feel like money. I feel like money. We'll talk about money in just a moment. I'm Tavis Smiley. Glad to have you with us. Two conversations in this final hour today. On the B side of this hour, a conversation about climate justice with Mark Magana, founding president and CEO of Green Latinos. We're talking about climate justice. My home station in Los Angeles is engaged in a very, very robust climate justice campaign all year long. And so on all of our programs, including this one heard nationally, we're going to be engaged, as we already have been, in a series of conversations throughout the year about black people and the climate. Yes, black folk and climate. So we'll talk about that specifically with the founding president of Green Latinos. We'll talk about that on the B side. But we commenced this final hour today in conversation with Kimmy Ellen, if I can get it out, on the black tax, the so-called black tax, and some tips that she has, I hope, for us getting the best IRS refund this year. Ms. Ellen, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
If I complained, I'd be an ingrate. I am doing remarkably well, and I'm thrilled to have you on and thrilled to be in conversation with you. Talk to me. I mean, this is not my first conversation about this, but for those who are unfamiliar with this notion of a black tax, unpack that for starters.
So what the black tax is there was a Stanford study that was recently performed, and what they found was that Black taxpayers are twice as likely to get audited by the IRS than any other racial group. And so when we talk about the black tax, it's because we're taxed more because we're audited more.
I'm not naive in asking the why question, but tell me why. Why are black people twice as likely to be audited as the good white folk?
So I think there's a couple of things. At first, I think that there's an algorithm that determines like who they audit. And I think that disproportionately, because of how we have grandparents raising children and maybe an aunt or an uncle who's raising a niece or a nephew, a lot of times when you have that dependent on your tax return that isn't a son or a daughter, you're more likely to get audited. So when you have grandparents who are raising grandchildren, they're more likely to get audited. Or you have an aunt or uncle, they're more likely to get audited. And so that's why we have that black tax, because they'll audit you, and then if you don't respond, they'll assess you.
So what you just said is not a secret. We have all kinds of conversations in this country, I have had for years, about the so-called nuclear black family. Ain't nobody in this country unaware of the way black folk raise their families, and grandparents oftentimes end up raising grandkids. And these days, as you may know, increasingly that just ain't a black narrative. They're white folk who are raising grandkids. I mean, the whole notion and nature of a so-called nuclear family has changed over the years, but certainly that narrative is true inside of black America, and it's been that way for quite some time. And you're telling me ain't nobody told the IRS that yet? They ain't figured that out yet?
Oh, they figured it out. They just won't change their algorithm.
That begs the next obvious question. Why won't they change the? What's the problem? Why can't they change the algorithm? If they know the truth, the truth ought to set you free. We are told, set you free from an algorithm that just ain't right.
Absolutely, but they have to manually change it, and they just won't. And maybe with some pressure, either from Congress or just the public in general, they would change it.
Yeah. I also read a let me pivot for a second. We'll come back to where we are. But I also read a piece not long ago, and you know more about this than I do. This is your area of expertise, not mine. But I read a piece a while ago about the ways in which the IRS has a bad algorithm, a bad track record of auditing poor people more than they do wealthy people.
Yes. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, wealthy people usually use a tax strategist or a tax planner or a CPA to prepare their taxes. So the CPA is ensuring that they're following the tax law, that they're inputting the information in the tax return correctly, and that they're making sure that they get the deductions that they're eligible for. On the flip side, sometimes poor people, they're running to their neighborhood tax place, and maybe they're not getting what they're in terms of service, what they should get, or maybe they're trying to do it themselves. It's surprising to me the number of people who try to prepare their taxes themselves. And if you just input the information, even though you have the correct information, if you input it incorrectly, then you're going to get a bad output. And so these things lead to you then being selected.
Yeah, well, I think that last part's pretty obvious. People do that because they try to save money. They don't have money to pay no tax a tax accountant to do their taxes. So they're doing it, one, because it's cheaper, although if you get audited, absolutely, it causes you more drama. So one, they do it because it's cheaper. And number two, speaking of algorithms, nowadays, if you follow these prompts, it's not as difficult. I don't do mine, but it's not as difficult, I'm told, as it used to be, Kimmy.
That's correct. That's correct. But because their algorithms will select people who get the child tax credit, mm-hmm, and the earned income credit, the earned income credit is the most audited credit of all the credits,
right,
as well as the education credit. You know, when you're talking about that earned income credit and you get audited, the other thing they're counting on is they're counting on you not responding to their letter of audit.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because you've got to respond accordingly.
Yep. All right. Lots to talk about here in this half hour. Our guest is Kimmy Ellen talking about the black tax. A few more questions about that. And then some tips to help you avoid, to the extent you can, being victimized, as it were, by that black tax, and some additional tips for you getting the best IRS refund this year. We'll do that with Kimmy Ellen when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
Ranked number 45 on the Heavy 100 list of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America. Made fresh daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and Kimmy Ellen, who is a tax expert, who we asked to come on to help us navigate this season, this tax season. So Kimmy, tell me more about the ways in which, to the extent we can avoid being victimized by this black tax.
Well, the first thing we can do, because we know a lot of our businesses are cash basis business, which have now turned to Zelle or Venmo or Cash App. Mm-hmm. So now there's a record of you actually making this income. The problem is that when you go to file your tax return, but you don't include all of that income, that triggers a warning. So keep meticulous records. Make a note of every dime that you make. On the flip side with the expenses, keep track of those expenses. Don't estimate. Actually look through your bank statements, through your credit card statements, through whatever statements you have, and pull out the items that are related to your business. So if you have a barbershop and you're buying towels or supplies, pull that out so that you can provide that and when you're preparing your tax return. The other thing is be conscious of how you're filing. Are you itemizing your deductions? Do you take a standard deduction? Know what you're doing, because if you're itemizing your deductions, then that means I need to keep track of my charitable donations from day one. You should keep a folder that is your folder for this fiscal year, and you're inputting your expenses every time. We forget about the $30 we gave to Girl Scouts or the $20 we gave, you know, to the Boy Scouts, because we're not keeping track of it. But if you keep track of it all year, that adds up and that becomes a tax deduction.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the anti-poverty, you mentioned the earned income tax credit actually earlier, the earned income tax credit.
Yes.
And I raised that because Ronald Reagan, and you ain't often going to hear me quote Ronald Reagan, not on this program or anyplace else for that matter. I'm not one who quotes Ronald Reagan. But it is the one Ronald Reagan quote that I know, and it stands out for the obvious reasons, which you'll figure out when I share it. So Ronald Reagan once referred to the earned income tax credit as the best anti-poverty program in American history. Those are his words. Reagan, this conservative icon to them, at least, once referred to the earned income tax credit as America's best anti-poverty program. You see where I'm going with this. If you got Ronald Reagan,
mm-hmm,
if you got Ronald Reagan calling the earned income tax credit the best anti-poverty program in the nation's history, then why is it that the IRS gets triggered by this earned income tax credit and black people end up being subjected to that black tax and they end up being audited? You follow my point, do you not?
Absolutely, absolutely. So you have a couple of scenarios. Number one, you have individuals who have more than three children. Maybe they have four, maybe they have five. When you get past that third child, you no longer get an additional credit. So sometimes people will ask a grandmother, hey, can you claim my other two children so that I can get extra in the earned income tax credit? Mm-hmm. And so that's when you see it being misused, when people are, I don't know, giving away their children so that someone else who's close to them, mm-hmm, can claim the tax credit. The other thing that they look at is your address. If you have five people at the same address, all claiming head of household and all claiming their earned income credit, you can only be, it can only be one head of household. So you have a mom.
All y'all can't do it. All y'all can't do it. Yeah.
You can't all do it. Yeah. Right. So usually it's whoever's the patriarch or the matriarch of the family is usually the person who has had a household. But if you have four people claiming the same address and all claiming for head of household, they're going to look at that naturally. And so, you know, when you're looking at all of this, it then triggers an audit. And then when people don't respond, that's the worst thing you can do. Make sure you have that birth certificate. If you have a court order that gives you custody of a child, make sure you have that. If you give them the information, they'll leave you alone. It's the people who don't respond that get in trouble.
To your point of leaving you alone, I want to circle back down to this issue we were discussing earlier, Kimmy, about why the IRS has this penchant for auditing poor people more than wealthy people. Your answer in part was because they, the wealthy people, have people to do their taxes for them. They know how to play this game. We all famously recall Donald Trump bragging about the fact he didn't pay taxes because he's smart. I don't pay taxes because I'm smart. He was bold about that in that presidential debate. My view is not just that wealthy folk don't get audited nearly as much as poor people because they've got a bunch of accountants on the payroll. That's part of it, no doubt. I wouldn't argue that point. But it's also, I think, that poor people are easy prey. I mean, listen to the kind of people that you're talking about right now. They're not the Donald Trumps of the world or other wealthy people who have an army of not just accountants, but an army of attorneys, if need be. And the IRS don't want to fight that fight. It's like, okay, I'll meet one of my brothers or somebody I'm working with. I'll meet you in the parking lot if you want to fight. But I'm not fighting Floyd Mayweather. I'm not trying to fight Manny Pacquiao. I mean, so you pick your fights, right? And I think that the IRS just has a bad habit of picking on poor people for these audits because they're easy prey. That's just me. What say you?
We're easy prey.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say easy prey. They can get in. If you only have two tax credits, it's only going to take them a moment to do your audit. Mm-hmm. These are the two things. The people who have a ton of schedules and forms, it's going to take them longer to actually audit.
Yes.
You. All you have is an earned income tax credit or an education credit because maybe you're putting your grandchild through school. That's a quick audit. You either have the form or you don't. And if you have the form, then you're good. If you don't, then I also want people to keep this in mind. If you go through an audit and everything comes out clean, they will generally leave you alone in the subsequent years.
Yeah. I had, who was on the show the other day? The comedian Roy Wood Jr. was on this program the other day. And he was telling the audience about the multiple times he's been audited over the last 15, 20 years. What is that about? Why is it that they don't just seem to pick on poor people? Not that Roy Wood Jr. is poor, but they don't just pick on poor people, but they keep coming back after you. You get audited multiple times. What's that about?
So it's a couple of things. When you're talking about a comedian, they're usually gig workers. That means they go, they work a job, they get a 1099, mm-hmm. then they move on to the next job. They get a 1099. So when you have those 1099s and you're putting them on your tax return, if someone doesn't issue you the 1099 and you don't put it in your tax return, and then they issue you your 1099 late, guess what? You're gonna get that error form that says, hey, you didn't include this. So a lot of times those gig workers mm-hmm. will be audited more as well because they've got a series of 1099s and they don't have any expenses to write off against it. But when you're talking about a business, you have expenses, but you have to be meticulous. And then if you do have a business, let's set up a self-employment plan so that you're deferring some of those taxes and not paying 100% of the taxes.
I'm going to send this Kimmy clip to Roy Wood Jr. when the show's over today. I'm going to say, Roy, here's a clip from Kimmy about why you keep getting audited. And maybe you ought to do something about
right.
that. That said, so tell me the sunny, I'm quoting Jesse Jackson now, the sunny side and the slummy side. That's a Jesse Jackson phrase. What is the sunny side of it being easier to do our taxes online these days? And what is the slummy side of it being easier, too easy to do our taxes these days?
Right. The sunny side is that you can get it done quickly. If you just put your information in from the form directly into the system, you can usually get it done quickly. As long as you file it by a Wednesday cutoff, you'll actually have your money in about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quick. It's easy, and if you don't have a complicated tax return, you know, it's something that's easy to do. The slummy side is when you input information incorrectly, or when you actually have identity fraud and you try and go and file your tax return and find out that somebody has claimed your Social Security number and already claimed a refund. It's going to take you 2 years to get that straightened out. The other thing is, when you are doing your own taxes online, you have to make sure you have all of your tax documents, you have all of your dependent information, you have all of your deductions. You know, sometimes when people are doing that themselves, they don't know everything that they're supposed to have, and so they miss out on deductions. Or they put something in incorrectly, and that, again, will trigger an audit, which, again, that's the black tax.
Yep. This may be a bit of an unfair question to ask you, given what you do every day. But what is your best advice to people about whether they should, in fact, attempt to do their own taxes?
I would say if your taxes are simple, if you're not itemizing deductions, you don't have a business, you don't have real estate, you don't have a farm, if you have a pretty simple tax return, then you can probably do it yourself. If you have any of those things, then just seek help, because you can, and if you can't afford it, you can go to something called the Voluntary Income Tax Assistance. They're called VITA. These are centers around the United States that are funded by IRS dollars to help people who are lesser in income actually prepare their tax returns with people who know how to prepare tax returns, and they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I see these commercials, of course, all the time on television. So I know that identity fraud is as real as rain. But I'm curious, again, given what you do, how much more prevalent it is these days. How often are you seeing some of your own clients, people you know, who have been subjected to identity fraud when it comes down to their taxes?
You know, generally, we see anywhere from 5 to 7 people a year who we try and file their tax return and something's already been filed. Because remember, you may be waiting until March because you're still getting forms. They've already gone and gotten your one W-2 and filed for you at the end of January. So you don't know it right away. So we're seeing about anywhere from 5 to 7 a year, which is a lot. That's a lot of people. Yeah. Because then after that, you have to file for identity fraud. You have to then get a personal identification number. And if you get a PIN, then they can't file you fraudulently the next year. But here's a huge thing. People who ignore their taxes and only file every 2 or 3 years, if you go to file 3 years later and someone has been filing identity fraud for the last 3 years, it could take you 6 years to get that straightened out.
And what's the IRS doing, given that, again, identity fraud is real, people are subjected to it every day, what are they doing, if anything, on their end? Because it's a bunch of drama for them, too. It ain't just drama for the taxpayer. It's drama for them. It's extra work and more time and more paperwork on their side. Is there anything that they are doing to help people not be victimized by identity fraud when it comes time to do their taxes?
One of the big things they're doing is giving people a personal identification number, a PIN, and they send out a new one every January. So if you've had identity fraud and you file for that, you will get a new PIN every year. And so they're sending that out. And so what that does is that prevents anyone from filing a tax return in your name. I would also, if I got identity fraud, I would also ask for a PIN for any of my dependents. Because if they got a hold of an old tax return, then they would have not only me, they would also have any of my children or other dependents. So I would actually just get a PIN for any of those. And then that will stop any kind of fraud from coming through, because they're not going to mail a return in. They're going to do a quick electronic file. They're going to get that quick loan, all of that. And then they're gone about their way. They've gone to the currency exchange. They've cashed it. The money is gone. So the IRS is giving you that PIN, but you have to be meticulous and you have to file it with that number every year.
The demographic data profile of my audience across the country, Kimmy Ellen, suggests to me that there are a lot of small business owners, a lot of small black business owners who are listening to us right now and every day. What's your best advice for small black business owners in this season?
Yes. That's my sweet spot. So I love black business owners. You know, the way you create generational wealth is through business ownership. So there are a couple of things that you want to do. If you have a business that, let's say you have a store and you have employees, make your children your employees. Let them learn the value of working for their dollar when they're younger. And then you're keeping the money within the household because you actually have them as employees. The other thing you can do is, for a business owner, every business owner should have a SEP, a self-employment plan, set up. And they can go to wherever they bank, wherever their local bank is. You just walk into there and say, hey, I'm a business owner. I need a self-employment plan. And with the self-employment plan, you can actually defer up to 25% of your profits into that plan, and then you can invest it, and you don't need to, you don't take it out until you're ready for retirement. But that's twofold. Number one, you're planning for retirement, and number two, you're lowering your current tax bill because you're paying less in taxes. The next thing that you can do is you have to keep meticulous records.
Yeah.
Every month, you should have that previous month's financial statement ready to go. And if you're going for bank loans, remember that they're going to want to see not only your tax return, they're going to want to see a financial statement that matches that tax return. So you can't have a tax return and you tell them, oh, I've lost $3,000 for the year, but then you give them financial statements that say you made $100,000. Well, it's not reconciling. And so they're going to want to look at that because they're going to see, can you service this debt? So make sure your tax return is accurate. Make sure it reflects what's on your financial statement.
We thank Kimmy Ellen for the good advice. I could only get her for 30 minutes because you know why. It's tax season. She's busy. So she at least squeezed out 30 minutes. All right, Kimmy, back to doing those taxes. Thank you for your time. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. You have a good day as well. We'll talk about climate justice when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.